We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. In episode 136, I walked you through how I do my annual strategic planning for the business. I really got into the weeds sharing what data I look at, how I analyze that data, and then how I schedule things out to ensure that I'm not overloading myself or my team or even my family with my big grand plans for the business, right? And so now that we've covered the question about big picture planning, which some of you had asked me, I want to circle back on the request that I received to share how I manage my day-to-day flow of family life and business life. And I have to be 100% honest with you guys, it feels like a beautiful mess most days. With four kids that are currently between the ages of 9 years old and 3 years old, we have a lot of activity. It's a lot of noise. It's a lot of commitments that we're juggling day in and day out. And I have to give myself a ton of grace because most days do not go as planned. But I will say I am very fortunate to have a great partner in this. My husband, Patrick, is very involved with our family. And we have a wonderful network of family and friends who help support us at home and also within my business. So I have had to learn to be flexible because my day-to-day plan looks very different every single day. And our schedule now really looks nothing like it did a few years ago. And I'm sure that things will continue to morph and change as the kids get older, and what our schedule looks like in a few years from now will not look like what I'm doing today. But you asked, and so here I am. Here is what my day looks like right now with a fourth grader, a third grader, a kindergartner, and a preschooler in the house. I am typically up by 6 a.m. every day. The kids are always up before me, at least a couple of them are, and I usually find them playing Legos or Beyblades, or if I left an iPad out, they're probably watching that. All that stuff goes off by 7 because then the morning hours on school days in particular get quite hectic. It typically takes me 2.5 to 3 hours each morning to get everyone fed and dressed, lunches made, teeth and hair brushed, get their shoes and socks on, and then get them wherever they need to be for the day, their preschool or their elementary school. Now, we have shaved some time off of this schedule now that my two older kids are more self-sufficient and they help make breakfast and make their school lunches. Our 8-year-old can make some amazing eggs, by the way. So we are giving them more responsibility, and that has, you know, it's quickened the process, so to speak. But I try not to schedule any work meetings until 9:30 or even 10 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I will meet internally with my team before that, but pretty much anything external, any podcast episodes I'm doing with somebody, any meetings I'm taking, that has to wait until after 10. And the reason for that is I usually drop everyone off at school and then I go home and get myself ready for the day. And I'm somebody that needs a little bit of quiet time before I start my day. So it gives me a chance to kind of like ground myself before I head into work. Now, sometimes I go into my office. Sometimes I work out of my home office. But my work day every day really consists of about 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. It's not much time, but it is very focused time. And during this block of time, I'm doing things like meeting with my team, I'm recording Proof to Product episodes, or I'm being interviewed on other people's podcasts, I am writing blog posts, I'm responding to questions from my coaching clients, I'm building curriculum for our programs or answering emails. There's a lot that I'm able to get done in this 4-hour window, but I have to be very intentional and focused with it. Something I've recently changed, a habit that I've recently changed that is helping me stay focused. I used to keep a running to-do list on an oversized notebook on my desk right next to my computer. And even though I was crossing several things off the list every day, I never felt like I was making much progress. It just felt like this overwhelming list that I could never tackle. More things went onto it each day than came off. So I change things up. I now, each morning when I have that quiet time before I sit down to actually start my work, I write down just 3 only three things that I want to get done during that workday. And instead of feeling like I only got, 5% of this monster list done, I'm crossing all three of those things off every day. Plus, most of the time, I'm tackling a lot more, which makes me like in my head, I'm tricking myself and saying I was over 100% productive today because I got all three things done plus everything else. I know it's kind of tricking myself, but it works. It makes me feel better about how much I'm getting done in a day. Because let's be honest, most of us are kicking ass and getting so much done during the day, but we get to the end and we're like, what did I really accomplish? So by trying to hone in on only focusing on a smaller amount of things every day, I've found that I'm more productive and also feeling good about the work that I'm doing. It also allows me to kind of strip away things that I don't need to be doing. So anyhow, my hardcore focus time is from about 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. most days. I do call Patrick on my way to pick up the big kids at school, and we figure out who is running the carpools to sports practices that afternoon or taking care of dinner. It's kind of our evening check-in in the afternoon. And then I head to pick up the three big kids from school. And together, we tackle their homework. I get them to sports, or Patrick comes in home and helps with that. We all have dinner together, the family of six, and then I usually hop back on the computer in the evening. Now, last year, I had full-time childcare for everybody. My older kids went to after-school programs, so my work days were much longer, and I didn't have to work nights or weekends. And I still try not to work on weekends, and I am trying to minimize the amount of work I do at night. However, my workday then was from about 9 a.m. until about 5 p.m. It was a full day. This year, however, our after-school arrangements changed, and it's just been easier for me to get the kids after school. And I will say it's been super rewarding to have this extra time with them and to hear how their days are going and see their friendships blossoming and I feel much more engaged in their after-school life, which is fun for me and good, but it has shortened my work day quite a bit, which is challenging for me because I have a lot of responsibilities on me there too. So again, working reduced hours has forced me to make some changes. I am delegating more. I am leveraging my team more. I'm giving people more autonomy to do their jobs to the best of their ability. I am not a micromanager. I really believe in hiring people that are smarter than me in a lot of areas and giving them the freedom and flexibility to do their job. But I also have high expectations and I expect high quality work. So again, I really try to hire people that are big picture thinkers, who are strategic problem solvers, and I do my best to give them all the autonomy and space they need to do their job to the best of their ability. Now, again, having condensed work hours this year has made me more focused, and frankly, it has forced me to clear the clutter and the distractions. I mentioned this earlier. I do limit the amount of time that I'm checking email in a day. I try to limit my time on social media during those 4 hours because, again, those 4 hours are so critical and require my full attention. Batching tasks has also been a game changer for me. I have 2 to 3 days per month that I dedicate to recording proof to product episodes for the podcast, and I do roughly 2 to 3 interviews in each of those days. One of my concerns when I was starting the podcast in 2017 was that I didn't want to feel like we were always chasing our tail to get the next week's episodes out. And so since we started this show, we have been utilizing some really incredible systems for the podcast, which include batching the recording. And then we typically work a few weeks ahead with regards to editing and scheduling everything out. So right now, for example, we, I think, have the next 3 weeks scheduled out. And that is something that brings me peace of mind. And it just makes the whole process a lot more smooth. I also have certain days of the week reserved for meetings with my group coaching and mastermind clients. We meet every other week, the same time online. And I talk with both of my, I have two cohorts of group coaching clients, and I talk to both of them in the same day. Now, it can sometimes be exhausting when I have these full days of podcast interviews or coaching calls, but I've found that I do a better job when I'm batching these type of tasks because I'm in the right frame of mind. I'm not jumping from task to task, trying to fit these important calls in while I'm also trying to do other things in the business. So I'm able to focus these entire days on the people that I'm speaking with. And my team knows that on podcast days, I'm not really available to answer questions or it's going to take me longer to get back to them. So, it does help me set expectations, but it also puts me just kind of in my zone of genius as I'm doing these tasks. Now, for your business, you might want to consider batching your shipping days. Maybe you only ship out packages on, say, Monday and Thursdays. Maybe you can batch writing and scheduling out your social media content or the marketing emails that you want to send. There's a lot of different ways you can leverage batching in your own business. Tanya Dalton from Inkwell Press came and spoke at one of our past conferences, and she had every Friday was called Financial Friday. And that was when she would focus on paying any invoices or talking to the bookkeepers or anything that required numbers in the finances for the business, she would hold until Fridays. And that gave her peace of mind during the rest of the week when anything would pop up. She'd be like, okay, I'll tackle that on Friday, but she wouldn't stress about it right then. So find some things that might work for you in terms of batching and try that. Now, this is a different kind of batching, and it's more for my personal life, but Patrick and I have a standing lunch date on Wednesdays when the kids are at school and childcare is taken care of. We're fortunate in that we work near each other, and it's easier for us than trying to find time in the evenings or babysitters, so we do make that a priority once a week to spend lunch together and just catch up, you know, on life, not so much the logistics of our family. And I completely block off my Fridays. I have a big note on my calendar that says do not schedule. It's in all caps and it's really obnoxious and it's there mostly for me so that I don't overschedule myself, but my team can also see it when they have access to my calendar. So they won't schedule meetings for that day without talking to me first. And I keep this day clear so that I have white space. I use this time to catch up on important work projects or to connect with business friends, to have like coffee chat calls. I sometimes go to lunch with local friends, or sometimes I go see a movie by myself. So it is time that I leverage in quality ways, but I like to keep it clear so that I have the white space to use that time for whatever I need. So whatever I need to catch up on or whatever becomes the most urgent or the highest priority, I can use my Fridays for that. And I know that I've got space in my week to do that. As I said too, I need quiet time to recharge, and so my Fridays are also when I try to do something else for me, even if that means cutting back a little bit on the work catch-up that I have to do. So that is my day today. I feel like it was a little bit of a scattered discussion in how I shared it, but really my day today varies all the time. Some days are heavier with kids and family activities. Some days I'm able to do full work days if I have help from family members. I'm really lucky that once a week, my mom picks our kids up from school. So they really enjoy spending quality time with my parents, and my mom enjoys it too. And then I also get a few extra hours of work in that day. So it's a win-win for everybody. But over the last 9 years as a parent, I have had and utilized every version of childcare. We've used different versions of block scheduling in my business and at home life and banking my time in different ways. And all of it, all of the transitions have been in an effort to be more productive. And what I've found, for me at least, is that I have to be flexible and I have to be nimble. And if something is working for me, great, let's lean into that and keep doing it. But if it is not working, I have to stop and evaluate and try something new. Because I found that if I keep pushing myself with the same old plan or the same old way of doing things, and it's not working anymore, then I'm doing myself and my family a disservice. Because in those cases, I don't feel like I'm operating at 100% for anyone. In those cases, when I'm with my family, I truly want to be present with my family. And when I'm working, I want to be focused on my clients, my team, and my projects. And so the last thing I want to say here is that with this whole entire thing is be kind to yourself, be flexible, and remember that what's not working for you right now may not work for you later, and that's totally okay. Just be open to shifting and pivoting when you need to. And as I shared, we've had a lot of transitions over the years in different ways, and this is what's working for me right now in my business and our family life. But if you guys have any follow-up questions for me, feel free to ask them in our Friends of Proof to Product Facebook group. I'll link that in the show notes. Or you can always DM me on Instagram at Proof to Product. I answer that personally. I check that personally. It's me responding to you. And again, I'll include links to both of those in our show notes. So thanks so much for listening. I hope you got a couple of nuggets that'll help you in your own life and your own circumstances. But just know, I appreciate you. Hey friends, I have some exciting news. Our Paper Camp Conference for 2020 is open for enrollment. I am only hosting one conference, one in-person Paper Camp program in 2020, and tickets are selling pretty quickly. We'll be meeting in Los Angeles at the end of February to talk about selling wholesale, building out your catalog and sales tools, marketing to retail shops, including emails and social media, and how to exhibit at trade shows. It is everything I wish I had known when I jumped into wholesale in 2008. If you want to see your products lining the shelves of your favorite shops, big or small, I invite you to join us for our Paper Camp Conference, February 25th and 26th, 2020. You can get all the details online at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.